Welcome back to this week's episode of The Digital Revolution. We're here in the Wolf Lair, broadcasting live. I'm Nico Vanberg, your host, and we're here with...
The Dakota Wolf, Nick Alucci.
And we have joining us again our guest host, Carl Sturgis.
Hey, yo!
So today we're going to be talking about creative mobility with these DSLRs. Portable, how much you can do with these cameras. So let's first talk about lighting, because lighting is obviously a huge part of... capturing image, no light, we have no picture.
Yeah, exactly.
And how little we need, and basically what we can do, because lighting usually takes the longest on a film set, and just in general, so...
It's important. It takes time. The physical lights you've got to move are huge. They take a lot of time to set up, and you want to set it up right. And what's most frustrating sometimes is that you set it up for one shot, and then you go to your next shot, and you've got to do something completely different. It takes a lot of time. With the DSLRs, with the use of the depth of field, you can get away with a lot more, and you know, it lets you be a lot more mobile in what you're doing.
And I think, the best thing about the SLRs is that you've got the depth of field, like you said, so you still end up getting a professional image, but you really just don't need to set up a lot of lights. You can set a camera up against the wall in a small bathroom, like we were talking earlier, or in the kitchen, and you can use house lights, and because of the depth of field that it adds with the lenses, you end up getting, if not the same image, a better looking image than a camera without lenses or a camera with a Red Rock lens and 650s all over the place.
That's right. True.
These sensors are hungry for light, and they do really, really, really well with very minimal equipment needed, which is the whole thing about being mobile creatively, is that this opens up a whole nother door to your production that you can explore. And time is of the essence usually on these productions, and it's very expensive. So now you
always on crunch.
You can always
time is money.
Exactly. So now you can cut down on cost of extra lighting equipment, but you can also cut down cost of the overall production because you're saving time. With these cameras.
And you get to be more creative. Instead of going that, man, I wish we could have tried that, but we just didn't have the time, you can go, you know what, let's try it. Maybe it doesn't work, maybe it doesn't, but it lets you be more creative and out there with that, because that's, you know, ultimately what you want to do. You do almost all the creative in pre-production. Once you get to production, you've got to execute, and you usually don't have time to put in the creativity.
And oftentimes when you get to production, like you plan out all these beautiful shots that you want to do, and then you get to production, and you're on your first shot, and you're 3 hours in because you've been messing with lighting. You've been trying to how to choreograph the actors, blocking the scene, and then you're like, now I'm gonna have to sacrifice everything I wanted, throw the shot list out the door, and now we're starting from scratch again. And with these cameras, it allows you, I mean, on any production, there's gonna be wiggle room where you're gonna have to make some sacrifices, but this really helps the creative process.
And I think if you're going out for the DSLR, if you're looking for a 5D, you're looking for a 7D, chances are you're trying to save money.
Right.
And you've got a small crew.
Right.
And as a director on a small crew, you don't really have a lot of the freedom that big narrative shoots, Hollywood shoots would have. So you're really doing a lot of multiple jobs. You're producing, you're directing, you're assistant directing. You're also lending a huge hand in the photography of the shoot.
Right.
And I think that's where you really get away with not having to wait for so long to have stuff set up.
Yeah.
When the camera's set, you can take a look at it. You can then take a lot of time to direct the actors.
Right.
And, you know, you've got so much leeway. You've got so much time for this creative control that you would never really have if you have a 35mm camera with a Red Rock and a bunch of lights everywhere.
Well, and the important thing to remember, too, is that, I mean, the same rules apply. I mean, if you don't have pre-production, you're still not going to have time. So you still have to use the same grinding you would in the other shoots, but when push comes to shove with shooting, you're going to have more freedom. You know, you still need to do the same pre-production to make sure everything's working, but when it comes down to shooting, you're going to be amazed at the freedom you're going to have.
Right. I mean, you're alleviating a lot of your headaches, and like you brought up with like a Red Rock 35mm lens adapter, for the independent filmmaker, those were great, and like it gave you that cinematic depth of field, but now you also had a rig that was like 3 feet long.
Yeah.
And now you just lost your, well, not that you completely lost your mobility, but it really narrowed what you could do with these cameras.
Yeah.
So
it's heavy,
space.
Man. It's heavy.
Yeah,
you can really
yeah.
throw that thing over the shoulder. I remember
my rig, like there's like at least 20 pounds, and then you have your field monitor and everything on there, and now it's like 25 pounds, and you have that mounted on your shoulders, like after a couple of takes.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah,
and you were
shaking.
Also talking earlier, we were saying, you know, breakdown or setup and breakdown. I mean, think about the great time saving, the amount of time that you're saving there when you're setting up a camera in, what, 30 minutes versus an hour and a half.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, then you've also got breakdown, which is, you know, could be the same amount of time. Then you got, then you think about travel time, how much traveling and how light you have to travel. I mean, it's you one car compared to a U-Haul.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
I mean, we were recently all on a shoot together where, like, I have the full Red Rock Cinema Cradle, and that's a matte box, you know, the handle, the rails, follow focus, everything like that. But yet it takes me about 5-10 minutes max to set that thing up, and then we can move on to another location.
Yeah, you're good to go.
It's still a pretty decent sized rig, but first of all, it takes less time. We still have great mobility with it, and it's a beautiful image. So,
yeah, it's great.
So, I mean, I do primarily a lot of narrative stuff, but for the documentary aspect, there's still a lot of advantages to that with how mobile these cameras are. And like you brought up a good point before, that when you're doing an interview or doing something in the field, that these cameras are very threatening to people. And it scares them and kind of, I don't want to say like maybe ruins the moment or the moment that you're trying to capture. So something that these cameras are a little bit less threatening, they're smaller, and it just doesn't look like like a video camera.
It's a subconscious thing for people, I think. A lot of people that are, you know, as a documentary filmmaker, I've been, you know, talking to other documentarians and how interesting it is to be able to, you know, versus, let's say you take an HBX, let's say you take an HPX or an EX1 out, the physical design of that object is much larger than a DSLR or than an SLR. And so, you know, and also the majority of the public, I mean, everybody knows that if you have a camera with a button on the top right, that's a camera that takes photos.
Yeah.
And I think a photo, it's one frame, it's less threatening than being filmed for a series of time, for, you know, an amount of time. Yeah. So people feel less threatened when a camera like that, even if it is recording video, is stuck in their face.
Their association with that camera is that, it's shooting photo, and it just doesn't, it feels more comfortable, you know? And it's interesting how that works, but it's totally
true. It's also a professional versus an amateur level, and I think this camera is giving, the 5D70s are giving a professional image, but there is, again, that average Joe out there that's looking at this camera and going, I'm not on a professional shoot if this guy's just got a little camera.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I don't feel as though I got to really hype up this moment anymore than I can just be natural.
Well, and you point out a big point, too. It's silly, but there's not a red light. There's not that red light up there that says, I'm being recorded right now. Like, it's a total difference. Yeah. People see that red light, and there's no red light on this thing. So, and it feels more comfortable. You can naturally just start rolling and someone's maybe talking and kind of get in the zone, and it just feels a lot better.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm kind of interested for is that, like, there's been a standard. This is what a video camera looks like. This, we have that shape in our head. This is a video camera.
Yeah, that's a still
camera. And that's a still camera. So with these cameras, are we really going to start seeing a transition to a different style of body, or are we always going to be with that video camera look?
It's happening. I mean, considering that Panasonic's already, like, their newest camera they're trying to release is basically kind of just a stouter looking HPX or something like that, you know, and it's
slowly morphing into more like a DSLR look. But
and if you go back, I mean, you go back to like the first VHS cameras that were introduced, right? I mean, you remember how big they were? They were practically shoulder cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
But they still had the little like handle on the right with the little strap, right?
Yeah.
And the red button, and they, you know, and the tape loaded in the side just like it did with, and so we got the HVX with the same thing with the tape, or
a little bit smaller
with the tape, even though it's, you know, a digital format. But it's interesting because this is the first time since the introduction of like a VHS camera, whenever that was. I couldn't tell you when the year was.
Right.
But it, you know, I mean, it was before my time. I mean, when I was a baby, I was getting filmed with VHS cameras.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you think this is the first time that the camera is literally changing its the design of the object.
Yeah.
And it's kind of exciting.
It totally is. Totally is. Because they're going to, you know, everything's just going to get smarter in how they design it. I mean, from the 5D to the 7D, the 5D didn't have a specific video mode start-stop. The 7D has a video mode start-stop.
And
little
all
things
ties
like that
back to that creative mobility, because it's smaller, it's more compact, you can get into areas, you can be more creative with the shooting, and it's, you know, like I said, it's an exciting
thing. Cameras offer a lot of power in such a little body, and it's really impressive.
And one last thing I kind of want to go back before we wrap it up here is that, you know, in documentary work, you're constantly on the move, you're moving from one place to the other, and carrying around a bigger camera is always kind of hindered that experience. And so now you don't have to sacrifice quality, because, you know, if you want it to be mobile, you know, you got a smaller, like, handy cam camera. and now you're sacrificing quality, but now you're getting a beautiful image and you're mobile and able to get exactly what you wanted.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, I've talked to you know, award-winning documentarians who have said, you know, all you need is a camera that has HDV and maybe one light, or just set it next to a window and then film the interview, you know? Yeah. Just make sure you get good sound and you'll be good. You could just do it by yourself. And for a aspiring filmmaker in college, I'm kind of like, well, I feel like there should be a bigger set. But I'm a documentarian. I think that he's right. You know, it's all about telling the story. But going back to what you said, Nico, it's all about, you know, it's not, you don't have to, you don't have to skimp out on the quality, right? Though, because
there was a time in our film history where, like, people knew film, the quality of the image was going to be bad, so that was forgiving.
Yeah.
So if the audio was bad, like, that was very unforgiving. So now we're at a time where visually we know the image can be great, mm-hmm. and so if there's a bad image, that's very unforgiving, and
it is.
It's a disconnect for your audience. So
especially in the YouTube generation we're in right now, there is in general, the standards have changed a lot, because now it's like, okay, you just got another YouTube quality looking video, and you know, and there's a big difference with that now. And now this lets you do that, you know, and we've talked about before, the camera lets you kind of grow with it, you know, you'll be able to get to that level.
Well, I'm sure we can keep talking for another hour about this stuff, but let's wrap it up. And I want to thank you guys for joining me again here in the Wolf Lair. I got my co-host here,
Dakota Wolf Nigalucci,
and our guest host here,
Carl Sturgis. Thank you very much.
And I'm your host, Nico Vandenberg, and join us next week.